Well, in many ways, the interpretation is easy. But let me give you a little context, perhaps, because it's a confirmation. And I was very excited about hearing about his dream. Was it yesterday only? We are obviously in a conversation with Barak. And as the Texas was approaching, and also we met in Uganda together on mission field, we are discussing and asking the Lord, and you know, what is it you want to do, Lord? Because honestly, I'm sure you share this sentiment with us. We are not interested in conferences or gatherings and this thing. We love to see each other. It's great, but we would love to know what the Lord has in mind. And as we share a heart, we still have the focus on youth. As Barak defined it, youth is not by age, but by, you know, where you are young. So whatever age you are part of this. But the idea was, well, talking to our children who are not children anymore. Some of the children, obviously, were here a few minutes ago having children, you know. So those young adults, having them in mind, and the Lord said, well, please be aware that they cannot go by your doctrine, the parents' doctrine, grandparents' doctrine. They cannot go by what you believe. They cannot go by your testimony. They cannot go by your experience. They have to have their own. They have to have their ability to have a relationship with God. They have to have ability to defend the faith. They have to have the ability to understand the Word and understand it not mentally only, but understand it spiritually and the implications of it. Because if we really understand the principles in the Spirit about the Word of God, we would, I believe, treat it differently. There is such a power and such a potential. There is such a calling in the Word. If we apply it properly and mix it with faith and use it and walk in it, you know, we are fulfilling God's purpose from the beginning. So one of the things was, yes, they have to be involved. And we do believe, and we did believe, that this conference, if you want, should take a little different form. And it would be in participation, not necessarily only, you know, somebody speaking from the pulpit and telling others, which is fine. It's, you know, part of what God wants. The word will be shared. But, you know, for the young and youth to be involved, perhaps to give them a question, and have them dig in the word and ask the questions, you know, work with it. We're discussing with Barak, you know, how to do this, and asking the Lord how to split people, and you know what to do, as well as the topic. And the topic was, well, you recently, what the Lord was doing in Czech and other places is something I would call a continuous, what's the word, reformation. We took the kids, the children, to different places. We took them to Luther House in Germany. We speak about all the reformators. We read the books about them and all this, and explain them about, you know, the faith and reformation. But, you know, we kind of have a wrong belief that the reformation was then, and we have it right now. You know, now what we have is right. But I believe there has to be constant reformation, checking whether what we believe is biblical. You know, we kind of think about outer court and denominations being out there. But if you're not careful, we become the denomination. And we believe things. You know, we would become believing things, and we don't know exactly why. We would form our own traditions and things. And we have to be careful, and we have to keep digging into the scriptures and checking whether that's right. And also, we would be having a form of religion, if you want, but denying the power thereof. And all this is something we have to be aware of and willing to admit. You know, so when we are in discussion with Barak about all this, we did believe that the form of this conference should be more active and participation, and digging the word and having actually boldness to ask any questions they are. You know, because one of the things that is happening in churches, and I don't care if it's centuries ago or now, is that certain things you don't speak about. You know, this is, what is the word, taboo? Yeah. You know, huh? Yeah, you know, no. You know, don't ask those. And yet, it's something which is in the mind of the people. You know, it's something they would like to ask. And the children, if you create an environment at home, they would be the ones. It's like the, you know, it's like the story of what is it? Was it a king with no clothes and the emperor, you know, with a dress, and he was stupid enough to believe those people selling him dress that you don't see. And the idea is, you know, if you admit you don't see this, you know, you're actually outcast because you proved to be dumb, and only the so-called clever people, they see the dress. And he wouldn't admit he's dumb, and actually there's no dress, and all the people around him wouldn't, till a child was there, and the child in the crowd is asking the parent and asking, hey, I mean, he's naked, isn't he? It's a famous story. And the children do that. You know, they ask questions, and they, you know, they don't know what taboo is, so they ask a question and say, hey, what about this? Wasn't Jesus supposed to be here already? You know, by what you're telling us for the decades? And you have to be, you know, able to answer, and you have to be able to go and face it and bring it before God. So with all this, and forgive me to give you the long context, but with all this the Lord is putting on our heart, and on the hearts of our children, which are not children no more, really, some of them, you know, you believe this is God. And then you would like to have a confirmation, right? You would like to have, you know, is it, are we right? Are we on the track? Are we hearing God properly? And then, you know, George is just sharing this dream yesterday. It was the first time I heard it. And I was just chuckling, you know. I looked at it and I said, I couldn't put it better. If you look at it, he has a dream, and you said it was weeks back. You know, I'm not sure you were privy to any of this discussion I had with Barak at that time. He says no, but it's exactly it. Do you see it there? You know, the idea of a kitchen. And by the way, a kitchen is not only the kitchen of your house, but a kitchen is something that is very symbolic to our circle, to what we believe. Because God has given years back, and you all should know and perhaps find the word Brother Dusil was sharing years back. I would say decades, isn't it? You know, and it was about him receiving a huge... What is it? Was it 100 pounds or 1,000 pounds of a sack, you know, full of meat, kind of raw meat, and not steaks, you know, and stuff. But he was supposed to deliver it to kitchen. And the kitchen was a place where it was supposed to be cut in pieces. And Craig, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, taking care of it. And if you don't know what, talk to this man. You know, it would be distributed as a meal, because some people are supposed to bring the meat in big chunks, and then it's distributed as word to, you know, in the house of the bride, wasn't it? Yes, it was house of the bride. And in this dream, it's kind of touching the same topic, the same idea. And the idea is actually that God is saying it's time to look back at the kitchen. Isn't it? I didn't give the dream, I'm just interpreting it. Yeah, it's time to look at the kitchen. It's time to see what is going on there. And I see two things. It's like refreshing the concept. Refreshing the concept of taking the word. Okay, and perhaps, was it some people taking trash out?
You have to take the old stuff out.
Make a scene.
Okay. So, Okay, so whatever is there, it's like, you know, the Lord wants us to do this job. And I was, very pleased the way God speaks so clearly and easily. And I believe there are a few things. One, it's time to revisit. It's time to look at the things we believe and double check. We know what we believe. Is it something we believe as a, you know, especially the next generations? Something as a, yeah, this is how church goes. No Christmas, you know, or no rapture, or, you know, this or that, the way we dress. And do we know why we believe this? Do we really believe it? Is it found in the Bible? You know, and the second thing is the involvement. You've seen involvement of the children, the youth, if you want. I believe this is something that's very important. You know, we shouldn't deny them the ability to ask and question and actually to fight for themselves. Find it in the Bible. Defend it yourselves. So, this is just giving you context and confirmation and partly the interpretation of the dream. I do believe there's more because taking out from the kitchen is not only looking at a word, but I believe there are some things that need to be taken out. You know, we might have brought in, or they are, you know, wrong. And actually, we might be even speaking about sin, even though that was not the main part of it. But it might be whatever doesn't belong there in the kitchen needs to get out. It's time for cleaning of every aspect. Amen? So, Lord willing, and, you know, sometimes... Sometimes the Lord puts on our heart things, and He doesn't give us detailed instructions. So we have to work it together and see where it goes. But we would like, in the next days, if you permit us, and if the Lord leads us, and we understand how, we would like to go and dig in some of the foundational things. And especially when talking to the youth, the theme which was resonating and was clearly asked was the purpose of life. So if we would give a title to this conference, Barry came over this title or topic, purpose of life. And in a sense of, all right, if we are supposed, if the life is ahead of us, the youth says, what is the purpose? What God really wants from us? Who are we? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to believe? I mean, we would like to tackle that and be clear about this. And I do agree, because it's one of the key things that you need for your life, for your work, actually, for whatever you do. I mean, what is the purpose? What's the point? If you don't know that, you know, there's no anointing, there's no sense, there's no energy. It's just religion. It's just repeating things, but you don't know what's going on. So I believe that the main theme, if you wish, is the purpose of our life, especially from a youth perspective. Amen? So I don't know, Berg, what do you have in mind? You wanted me to come here to speak about a dream. Do you want to share what you had in mind or what the Lord spoke to you, or what do you want to do now? Okay. All right. What I then believe we could do, we'll lay before you the first step. As we prayed, the Lord put on our heart, I believe, the first step of the purpose of life, and that would be, who are you? So if you don't mind, I would perhaps lay a little bit on a table. Have you sleep on it? And then tomorrow we will get into it. I don't know whether it's the time and the hour to speak about it and then dismiss into groups and do the work, especially with some people traveling. I was given note, be careful not to take it too long. But I don't want to waste time, really. So I would like to spend it now. I don't want to dismiss it at all. Let's lay on the table some of the questions. More than answers. Amen. Shall we? Shall we do that? Okay. Okay. Let me get some stuff. So, let me pray. Father, I'm excited. I'm excited about what you have in mind. I'm excited about what you have in mind from the beginning. Because you have a purpose. You have created us and everybody with a purpose. You have created us, Lord, with a concept, with an idea, with a plan. And I thank you that we can gather here and that you have gathered people who are interested in knowing what the plan is, what is in the mind of our Father. So I pray, Lord, that you would lead us, that you would speak to us, and that you would anoint our mouth to speak, our ears to hear, and our mind to understand. Because I believe if we understand, Lord, your mind, that'll equip us, that'll give us power and ability to enter into the purpose you have given for our life. Speak to us tonight. Open our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. I actually will start giving some context. Oh, thank you, sweetie. Giving some context, I'll go to, what is it, Luke 15, isn't it? And I suppose you want to do it in English, right? 15:11. Of course, you know the story. I'm preaching to the choir here. But the story is, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. It's a story about of two sons and a father. And both of the sons actually didn't know the father. They had wrong concept about the father. They had the wrong concept about purpose of life. They had the wrong concept about who they are and who they are supposed to be. What is their calling? And what is the life about? And I believe that both of the sons, they describe us and other people in a different ways. You know, there are, in the Bible, there are different types and typologies. Some of them, for example, you take the sheep. When the sheep was lost, what are we supposed to do? You're supposed to go and find it, right? You reach out and you find the sheep. And this is the calling for us, to find the sheep. If a coin is lost, it loses its value, right? Well, what we are supposed to do? Search the house. You know, search it. Go for it. But when a son is lost, you don't go after him. You have to wait for the son to come to senses. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe God is dealing with you as with sons, because of the word that was delivered to you. You're no sheep, you're no coin. I mean sheep in one sense, yes, but not in the sense of that you need to be searched for. You have the word. You know, you have the word, and God is actually using this parable to explain us the need to fully understand where we are supposed to be. Because this one son, to make long story short, because you know the story, he ends up among pigs. And look at this. He is son of God, son of his father, right? He's got the calling, he's got the election, he's got everything that belongs to the father, belongs to him, and yet he finds himself among pigs, eating poor, feeling miserable, wasting his life. You know, and actually,
as I'm told from the brethren, you know, destroying his inheritance. You know what I mean? So it's possible that you at the same time are Son of God, you have heard His gospel, you know, you are part of it, and yet not taking an advantage of it. The very opposite. Not realizing your calling and what you can do. It is something we have to overcome. It is something that us all, not only the youth, have to realize. There is something the Father has in mind. I can be living my life in the world. I can be playing with the world. I can be half there, half in, half out, eating with the pigs. And, well, you say, come on, Martin, I'm not eating with pigs. Well, no, we're not speaking about natural food, are we? We talk about this internet and this music and that word and that friend, you know, and that situation. It is, in a way, eating with pigs, isn't it? You know, and if you see the faces of the young people, they go, yeah. Because it is. But, you know, the problem is, the Father cannot go. You cannot, and this is the mistake we do sometimes. You know, when we tell the kids and tell the people around ourselves, or maybe even we tell ourselves and we say, well, thou shalt not. Don't do this. You know, without giving understanding why and what actually is there in the Father's house. You know, they don't have the vision. When he was there and he left the Father, he didn't have the vision of the house. He didn't understand really what is in the house. And he needed to get a vision. So he's there eating with pigs. You know, he's there busy doing things. He spent all the money he had. I mean, when you are in the church, when you are hearing this word, you do get money, spiritually speaking. You do get something valuable. Amen? You have knowledge, you have understanding, you have strength. You have inherited good things. Amen? And you can spend it. You can use it. Use it up. Spend it. And then, doesn't the scripture say when he came to senses, or is it, or came to himself? Uh, 17, isn't it? And when he came to himself, yeah, came to himself, came to senses, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You know, part of this is, and this is our prayer for this week, that there will be this realization and recognition for the sons of the fathers. You know, there's bread in the house of God. What am I doing here? What am I doing here when, you know, I mean, even the servants of my father, they have bread and there is enough to be spared. And yet, you know, I'm here suffering and hungry. And that would be my prayer, that we would come to this calling and realizing, hey, you know, the calling God is offering me is much higher than what I have. We trade it, because there's this idea. And you know, strange enough, God allows it. God allows the son, okay, you go and try it. You know, the children could go and they say, what about this music? What about this school? What about that? What, you know, am I not missing out? Isn't it, tell me, young people, isn't it a question you're honestly asking? Aren't we missing out? You know, the music. Take music. You know, well, we have just this little subset, you know, and you run it over and over, and the parents are kind of suggesting, well, this is rock, and this is dead, and this is wrong for this reason, and this is wrong for this reason, and it's very limited then. And the question is there, am I not missing out? You know, and on other things, the question could be, am I not missing out? You know, Isn't there something out there that we don't have? And the Father is not going to force us. He will allow them to go among pigs. You know, but when you are there, then you realize. Then you realize, well, actually, the calling God has for me, you start recognizing, is much higher than I can achieve anywhere else. And I hope by tomorrow morning, when we dig into these things, we will recognize, and perhaps all of us, young people, will come to ourselves and realize, hey, the calling in God, what He has to offer, is so much more than I could ever do by myself. If you realize who you really are and who your Father is, if you realize the powers, if you realize the calling, if you realize the ability of your soul, I would even speak natural and say if you realize the ability of your brain, but let's say soul. If you realize the ability of your soul and the calling and what God wants from you individually as well as together as body of Christ, I believe that it would give us the power, the inner power, to leave everything behind and rush back to home. Where Father is standing and waiting for you because He believes in you. You know, whenever you are in a mess, the Father is still believing in you, waiting for you to come. Amen? So I believe this is quite important idea. But let me go to the other son too. You know, this son, he never left the Father. But still he didn't understand the Father. He's there, busy, working and doing what the Father says. Amen? But didn't understand that he should participate in it. You know, you could make a mistake of working for God, but not being son of God. With all honesty, you know, you try to do all the good things, but there is still something missing. Because it is not the purpose of God. It is not the purpose of your life to work and work and work and sacrifice and do all these things. And it's seemingly right and it's biblical, but that's not the purpose. God wanted you to have fellowship with Him, understand Him, love Him, and participate on the work. You know, I personally believe, and I'm talking biblical as well as management. Okay, my trade is management. I believe if you work without vision, without understanding what you're doing, without participating on the fruit of your work, it is not sustainable. You can do it for a while, but long term, you can't do this. You will resign, you will give up, you will grow bitter. Amen? And especially we'll grow bitter when you see God is blessing somebody who doesn't deserve it. Because your motive is not love. Your motive is not kindness. Your motive is not relationship with the Father. Your motive is actually that you think you can earn it and deserve it. But that's not the calling. That's not what God wants from us. Amen? And the other son, when actually the first, prodigal? You know, when the prodigal son comes back, and the father is so pleased and happy. Because, you know, we don't realize how much the father desires us to come back. Desires us to come to the calling. He's there, and we say, you know, well, maybe I'll just serve you. I'll be just an outcast. I'll be just in the corner. He says, no, come in. And he gives you the ring. He says, please recognize you're my son. You're not my servant. I don't want to treat you as a servant. I want to treat you as a son. And the Father is there waiting for us to come in. And the moment we decide in our mind and say, I'm coming back to God, He is there. And He's there to embrace us and bring us in. And actually, He throws a party. You know, we don't deserve it, do we? You know, we come back with this sorry heart. And the sorry heart triggers in God forgiveness like this. And he's able to throw a party and say, come in, be my son. And yes, there'll be work tomorrow on the field. you know. But the other son, he says, what? I mean, throwing a party? Here's a prodigal son, he spent your money. You know, and you can have this in church. There could be this misunderstanding of the mind of God and of purpose of life, where he said, well, you have to work for this. You have to deserve Father's recognition. You have to deserve the love of God. No, you can't. It's there. You know what I'm saying? And then, because he was just working and working, and the motive was not there. He didn't understand him being son of God. He didn't understand the Father and the purpose. And he complained to the Father and said, you know, you do this. And the Father answered to him. What was the answer? Let me first say what the son said. And he answering said to the father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I make merry with my friends. It's a sad Christian life. You know, serving God, not knowing Father, not realizing who you really are. Actually, this guy for many years missed the purpose of life. Can you imagine that? From a very different angle. Thinking about his brother, you know, thinking, oh, I'm doing so much better. Well, in a way, maybe yes. On the other hand, not quite. But as soon as this thy son was come, which thou hast devoured thy living with, which has devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Amen. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You know, if we have the purpose of God right, if we understand who is God and who we are, I believe that will give us the proper energy and proper balance and ability to work with God, be with God, work in power. And yes, we will be producing and working and doing, but the motive will be different. Amen? And we will not be challenged, we will not be going around and, you know, be kind of a struggling with the other brother who God blessed and he doesn't deserve it. Because in our thinking, the main idea would be to be with the Father and bless all the other brethren in the house. Amen? So, you can actually have a father. You can be son of God by calling an election, and yet have the doctrine wrong. Have a wrong concept, and go year by year, you know, and spend it, and not have clear your purpose of life. Amen? And I believe we would like to touch it and correct it. If it's the case, and I do believe it's the case, otherwise God wouldn't say it, would he? Amen? So I would like to go and revisit and double check. We know what we believe. We know what we believe. We know who we are. We know what does it mean for our life. Because if you understand who you are and who God is, if you get this right, that'll give us interpretation for the next steps. Like, how do I alter my life? If you don't know who you are, I mean, and it can differ quite a lot. If you believe you're a servant of God, that sounds biblical, isn't it? And in a way, it is correct. But it's not a full story, is it? Because if you're a servant of God, you are thinking differently than if you're a son of God. If you don't know what your calling is and why God did what he did, why he created it and how he created you, you will not be able to interpret properly your calling for life. And this is something we have to double check. with the children, with the youth, you know, to lay it properly and make sure they understand it. So in a way, tomorrow, as we split you, you will be the ones explaining back to us. And we will be the ones asking questions here and there. Amen?
Amen.
Looking forward to it?
Yes.
I know you are. Yes. But we would like to make sure that you understand it, because it's easy to nod, but can you formulate it yourselves? Can you find it in the Bible? Can you understand it properly? Is it down there in your heart, and do you know what it really means? Amen? So, the questions we would have for tomorrow, because I want you to pray about it and think about it overnight, sleep on it, as we say. I have listed them down. I did sleep on it too. And I do have the answers, and let's see if we arrive there. But I strongly hope that you bring some other thoughts that we didn't think about and we didn't list. But let me find it here real quick. Texas 2:17. Here it is. So we would like to start with step number one, as I said already, and this is, who are we? And I have kind of four sub-questions for you. So my first question is, and pay attention to the word. I see you write it down, which is correct. Pay attention to this word, because it's important. What kind are we? What kind are we? So, you know, you are created as what? Who are you? What kind are you? In a sense of creation. In sense of biology, if you want. If you're supposed to describe the earth and what is on the earth, the species, what about you? Who are you? Amen? So the question one is, who are we? And I do have some sub-questions for tomorrow, but I'm not telling you now. And second question is, who are we compared to Jesus? So that's question number two. Who are we compared to Jesus? Huh? I can give you two extremes if you want. One extreme would be the same. There's no difference. We and Jesus are the same, you know. He just is before us, but there's no difference between us and Jesus. The other extreme is, come on, I mean, Jesus is God, we are just people. You know, He knows it all, He did it all, He died for us, and we are just people who love Him and serve Him. And you can't compare us, we are different substance and all this, you know. So, yes, Jesus was holy, Jesus was doing all right, but, you know, of course not me. Yeah, so that's the two extremes. What do you believe? What is the Bible saying, really? So question one, what kind are we? Question two, who are we comparing to Jesus, compared to Jesus? And then, it's kind of a derived question from the first two. If we realize who we are, biblically, my next question is, do you have it? Do you live it? And if you don't, what's holding us back? In other words, if you find in the Bible that you should be doing so and so, biblically, and you realize in your life that's not the case, because if you realize who you are in the Bible and you are doing exactly what the Bible says, please come and teach us. Okay? Well, I'm afraid we all fall short, don't we? So tell me, as the third question, if there's a clear word describing who you are, and if it's powerful, and if you don't live it, tell me what's holding you back. Can I give you, again, suggestion, what could be the answer, and let me tell you it's wrong. Okay, it's one of the doctrines out there. And it would be, well, come on, we have to die. Because yes, one day we will be perfect, right? You know, but not here. And we know that's wrong, don't we? Yes? So that's not the answer. I'm giving you a clue. So what is the answer? What is holding you back? If it's not to die and then be in heaven perfect, because we have rejected it, haven't we? It was one of the first things I have so rejoiced about when I heard this word. You know, because everybody else was kind of living and saying this, well, we live here and we are imperfect. You know, because that's it. We are human. But then we die, we go to heaven, and that's it. Well, if that's the case, the best thing is to die as soon as possible. Huh? Would that be the solution? But of course, we don't believe this, do we? So, what is holding you back? Why are we not walking in the calling? Because that's what the youth are asking. Say, well, okay, if we hear all this preaching, when shall we see more reality of it? And by the way, it's a challenge for us, isn't it? For the parents and grandparents. What do we tell them about our lives? Hey, mom, dad, you know, where shall we see more reality in your lives? So maybe it's for adults too. Ask the question, what is holding me back that all the promises and all the things God put in the Bible, they are not fully manifested in my life? We are not waiting to die. So what is it? What can we do about it? So we've got three questions to pray about, search the Bible about. Who are you? How are you in comparison to Jesus? And what's holding me back from the promises? Is this clear? Amen. So, Barak, I don't know what you want to do, but I'm done for now. Unless you have a question. It could be an organizational question, it could be anything about what I said so far. Yep. Somebody was asking here? Yeah, go ahead.
What kind are we? Elaborate.
Elaborate? I don't know if I'm going to help you. What species are we?
Yeah.
Is it helping? Not?
Yeah.
Okay, are you the top of the animals?
Yes. No.
Welcome. Welcome to this discussion. Welcome to the Bible. Welcome to the search of the Scriptures. That's exactly what we'll be looking at. You know, because if you have this wrong, that determines your walk. So, what do we believe? You know, so what species are we? Are we humans? Are we humans that are more than the animals? We are, you know, like they make the tree and they put on the tree all the animals, like evolution, you know, Darwin and all that rubbish. And they put man as the best of the animals. No, we don't believe this, do we? So who are we? How God created us. And by the way, if you want, you can compare us with the angels. Are we higher, lower? Why did God create angels and why did He create us? What's the difference? Who are we? As a species, as a kind. Does it make sense? Without giving you the answers? Okay. Joseph, you had a question there.
It was just another thought. Another question you had. There's a question, it's a valid question that not many people do know. People think it's up there.
I know.
Yeah. And then another thing is, to go with your question on like what kind are we, you could say, what, what are you? So, like, are you body, are you sold, or what are you like?
Okay.
You can also ask that.
Thank you very much for the two inputs. What I'm going to do is, I take the second question and add it to your list. So who are you? What kind? Yes. Also tell me, because we know your body, soul, and spirit, right? But the sub-question is, who are you? Are you body, or are you soul, or are you spirit? And you tell me, come on, we are all three. Well, yes and no. We have three parts, but there's answer to this question. Are we soul, are we spirit, or are we body? Okay? So I'm taking this question as a sub-question, and I'm tasking you, if you don't mind, for collecting the other questions. So you have your question there, hell and heaven. You know, it's a good one. And I would like if you put youth, especially, but not only, you can put on paper, you don't need to sign, any question you have for this fellowship. Okay, anything you want to ask. You know, and it could be related to these questions, it could be anything else. If you're lost about music, if you're lost about hell and heaven, if you're lost about calling, if you're lost about Jesus is coming tomorrow, if you're lost about something, and you would like to clarify and discuss it, please do write a little paper. Joseph is collecting it. Okay? Anytime, not tonight only. Anytime, we'd like to go back to this. Amen? And, you know, people have strange concepts about hell and heaven. And when you start challenging it, which I love to do, you know, they realize they don't know what they believe. If you want a little teaser, you know, sometimes when I want start discussion this, I tell them, do you know where Jesus went when he died on the cross? I said, what do you mean? I said, do you know he went to hell? I said, what? You know, that's not possible. I said, yes, sure he did. And by the way, do you know he's in heaven? What do you mean? I said, do you know the devil is in heaven? What? Devil cannot be in heaven? Oh yeah. So it's a little teaser to start conversation if you want with some people. Amen. Any more questions? Well, that's why you are the one collecting them. Okay. Barak, back to you. Bless you.